Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. My name is Lynn S. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Friday, August the 16th, 2024, and we are continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 39, the second paragraph, three lines up from the bottom. Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic. To the conclusion of that paragraph, self-knowledge would fix it. The reference numbers for Thursday, August the 15th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 21660, and the 10 a.m. meeting is 21661. Overeaters Anonymous. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behavior and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Tenzin T to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Tenzin.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, good, good. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thank you, Tenzin P. And Anita L. will be reading the 12 traditions. Welcome, Anita.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia, the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to give service, and have a beautiful day, everyone. I pass.
Thank you, Anita L. Our work focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we're resuming our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 39, the second paragraph. 3 lines from the bottom. Fred would not believe himself alcoholic to the conclusion of that paragraph. So this morning, Colleen M. will be reading for us. Good morning, Colleen.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. Thank you very much. Colleen M., recovered compulsive eater from Maryland. Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic, much less accept the spiritual remedy for his problem. We told him what we knew about alcoholism. He was interested and conceded that he had some of the symptoms, but he was a long way from admitting that he could do nothing about it himself. He was positive that this humiliating experience, plus the knowledge that he had acquired, would keep him sober the rest of his life. Self-knowledge would fix it. Oh, Fred. So this just reminds me so much again of, you know, my journey through my compulsive overeating history. And, you know, I always knew I had a problem with food, but I could not accept that my problem was so significant that I needed to do this much work, you know, to fix it, you know. You know, calling a sponsor every day, weighing and measuring my food. I mean, this all seems so drastic. You know, this, you know, I'll just do intuitive eating, or, you know, I'll just go on the sugar-free diet or the fat-free diet or the Weight Watchers, or, you know, I'll I'll starve myself and then, you know, I'll do intermittent fasting, you know, none of this, but I had to try all those things. You know, I had to have these experiences to concede to my innermost self that I was truly a food addict, that I had to put the food down 100%. It also reminds me of, you know, on page 30, you know, we all, the obsession of every alcoholic is that we'll be able to eat or drink like normal people. And, you know, I so did not want to be a compulsive eater. I did not want to give up all of these foods that I loved that, you know, gave me a hit and it gave me comfort for a few seconds, you know, milliseconds before the self-loathing would come in and beating myself up for, you know, yet another failure. So, you know, this is a step one issue for what I can see. You know, we cannot follow the program. We're not going to look for a spiritual remedy to this program. We're not going to want to do these steps if we're not willing to admit that we have a problem. So I think in the chapter 2, working with others, they talk about, you know, maybe let this man go out and do some more controlled drinking. And that's what I had to do. And I know that I'm not alone because I hear a lot of people and a lot of stories of, you know, people that pick up again and, you know, it doesn't get any better. I've never heard anyone say that I've gone out and eaten and it's so much better and I can control my food now. So, you know, for me, this is the last show on the block, and I put the food down, I followed directions, I worked the steps, I got a relationship with a higher power that I work on a daily basis, and I have freedom from my food obsession. And there's no doubt in my mind that if I picked up today and started eating any of my alcoholic foods, I don't know that I have another recovery left in me. And I don't want to take the chance. I think it's a lot easier to stay abstinent than get abstinent. So I'm so blessed to be here to find this program and to work it with all of you on a daily basis. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Colleen M., for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share this morning?
Paulie G.
Kelly F.
Melissa
B.
Anne Marie M.
Loretta H.
Elena C.
Okay. Can we stop there just for a minute, please? Because I missed a lot of the people at the beginning, but let me tell you who I do have. I heard a Paul, Kelly S., Melissa, Anne Marie M., and Loretta H. Who did I miss, please?
Roy C.
Elena C.
You missed
okay.
me, Harlan G.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Elena
Sorry, Harlan. I got you. Thank you, Elena. All right. So our lineup then is Harlan G., Paul, Kelly S., Melissa, Ray C., Elena C. And when you share, please give us where you're calling from so people can find you on the list. Okay, Harlan G., would you start us off, please, followed by Paul. Good morning, Harlan.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you for your service this morning. Fred is a partner in a well-known accounting firm. This is a great, great story. It is really the story of Harry Brick. Harry Brick wrote a story in the first edition of the big book called A Different Slant. And unfortunately, Harry died drunk. But Fred's story here is a wonderful, wonderful illustration of something that the book is trying to teach us, and that is alcoholics, compulsive overeaters, what have you, we do not come in all one size, one color, one whatever. the rain falls on the just and the unjust. We are of every race, every creed, every color, every religion, every background. This disease does not care who it strikes. The paragraph also illustrates something out of my life. I was told a lot of lies, but two lies that I was told are not unique unto me. They were probably told to you as well. Lie number one, you can do this yourself. You have the willpower. I have memories of doctors screaming at me at the top of their lungs, and I'm crying my eyes out, and they're telling me that if I loved my mother, I wouldn't eat so much, and if I loved my father, I wouldn't eat so much, and that if I wanted to have a good life, I wouldn't eat so much, and I'm going to die. And I'm 5, 6 years old. I'm crying my eyes out, and they told me I could do this myself, and that is not the case. And another lie they told me is, when you lose the weight, everything will be okay. That is not true. Losing weight does not treat the disease. Losing weight changes nothing except my weight and my waistline and my appearance. That's all it changes. It does not change the world. And of course, Fred was positive that he could, this, after this humiliating experience, plus the knowledge he had acquired, would keep him sober the rest of his life. Self-knowledge would fix it. He didn't just pull that from the thin air. He pulled it from everything we are taught from the time we read The Little Engine That Could as children. We read The Little Engine That Could. We are inculcated in our culture with a self with the idea that self can fix it. If self just tries hard enough, we can accomplish anything. This is a disease. And the last paragraph of this chapter, once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink, except in a few rare cases. Neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. Here's the nugget. His defense must come from a higher power. Without a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps, the disease will continue to get worse. The disease will never go away. And if untreated, the disease will prove fatal. And so we have to unlearn the lies we are told when we come in here, that we are powerless. And that is it. Okay, thanks for your service. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Harlan G. from Scottsdale, Arizona. And next, I heard a Paul. Was there a Paul who put his name forward?
Yes, this is Paul P. from Rhode Island. And thanks for the program. And thank you for my higher power. All my life, I've been overweight. I did the pay away and I did all the diets and whatnot, even thought about having my stomach stapled. But I knew that wouldn't work because I didn't have the mental capacity to pull it off, to keep the weight down. I know I had this problem, but about 3 years ago, somebody introduced me to this wonderful program of Overeaters Anonymous, and I got the spiritual aspect of the program, and it helped me immensely. I'm at a decent weight. All my vitals are good, and I thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Paul P. from Rhode Island. Next up is Kelly, EYS, followed by Melissa. Good morning, Kelly, and can you please tell us where you're calling from?
Hi, sure, Pam. Good morning, Lynn. So good to hear you on the line. It's Kelly, EYS, from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Glad to be on the lines with you guys this morning. Just wanted to come at this from a little different angle. Thank you guys for all the shares previously. Sorry, I jumped up from stretching. Anyway, so, you know, I've been around these rooms, as you guys know, for 41 years, and it took me a long time. And in 2015, I started listening to that vision in 2013, and started hearing that message about, you know, we could be and actually be recovered, and about really understanding and accepting this whole spiritual malady. You know, yes, I have a physical allergy and a mental obsession, but I have a spiritual malady, and I have to have a spiritual solution, right? So I was willing to put down the food and work the steps and gain access to this power. Well, let me tell you guys something. So you would think my humiliated experiences over decades of struggling, never even having a year, right? And now I have all this knowledge, right? God is the answer. God is the solution. I have a spiritual malady, right? So now I finally, after all the years of being around OA, I finally understand this. I have this knowledge. This is the solution, right? This will keep me recovered and abstinent for the rest of my life. Well, guess what? It is easy to lose connection, right? So self-knowledge, knowing spiritual solution, knowing God is the answer, knowing I have a spiritual malady, that's not going to do it. If I don't do the work and stay connected to power, I lose power. And it's like I'm like my old cell phone. I just updated recently. And I had to charge it at least twice throughout the day. That's how I am. It's like I have to stay connected because I start losing power. My battery starts running out. It doesn't even matter if I know God's a solution. If I'm not connected to God, if I don't have access to the power, I'm on my own. But I know God is the solution, right? I know it's all about God. Where is my God? Do I have this connection and this relationship? And like Harlan said, I was going to bring that up about once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. His defense must come from a higher power. Well, if I get unconnected, if I lose that power, if I lose access because I'm resting on my laurels and I finally think this is going to keep me abstinent and recovered for the rest of my life, it's not true. Daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual connection. I must access this power. I must have a relationship with power all day long, not just in my 30 minutes in the morning, which I love, but it's connection all day. My sponsor told me God has to be your BFF. So that's why I'm doing this work. And you can know that. That's why we do this work. But I have to have the power in order to stay away from the food. And with that, I pass. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Kelly EYS from Tulsa X. Oklahoma. Next, we have Melissa, followed by Anne Marie M. Melissa, can you please tell us your last initial and where you're calling from?
Yes, this is Melissa B, calling from Michigan. I'm a compulsive overeater. And the part that stood out to me from today's reading is also the idea of two parts. He would not believe himself an alcoholic, and also self-knowledge would fix it. When I remember years ago, seeing my therapist, and my life was unmanageable, and chaotic, and compulsive overeating was part of that. And my therapist, I remember she just asked me, you know, if I would consider doing 12 steps for my compulsive overeating. And I remember, I just said to her, you know, oh yeah, I'll think about that. But inside I was offended. I was thinking to myself, what, she thinks I can't figure this out? Of course, I couldn't figure that out or anything else in my life at that time because everything was unmanageable. But I still thought, you know, if I can fix the chaos in my life, I won't go to food. So I'll start to pull myself together, and then I won't need, you know, to worry about the food part. That didn't work. So then I started going to, okay, well, if I fix the food part, then the rest will come together. That didn't work either. So eventually, you know, now I'm at a point where I realize, okay, I do need to work these 12 steps, and I need to be connected to God. Still very much in the middle of this process myself, but Yeah, I also find myself going back to this idea that self-knowledge will fix it, that knowing why I am the way I am, knowing what are the steps to recovery will fix me. But it's not about understanding. It's not about the knowledge. It's not about the logic. Those things will fail. It's about receiving power from God and working the steps along with my fellows. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Melissa B. from Michigan. Next up is Anne Marie M., followed by Loretta H. Good morning, Anne Marie.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for your service. Appreciate it. This is Anne Marie M., living in South Carolina. As right now, I am at home in Rhode Island visiting families. I'm so grateful, gratefully to be recovered through God's grace and by working the steps in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous and continuing to work the steps in Alcoholics Anonymous, just like someone had just mentioned about staying connected to God throughout the day. And I need to do that by living in 10, 11, and 12. And so anyway, with all of that said, I relate to, you know, a lot that has been said. And the first person that spoke who read the reading for this morning, you know, said something about, like, this seemed to be too extreme. And I remember thinking that, was I making too big of a deal of this? I mean, my gosh, you know, so what if I binge once in a while? It just got worse and worse. And I remember thinking that, you know, this was not going to be too big of a deal. You know, I was going to get into this program, lose the weight like I heard somebody else had done, and then I'd be on my merry way. But that didn't work. And once I did, before, in the middle of going in and out of OA for the first 20 years, I read a book that explained, which I hadn't believed when I first came into OA, that sugar could be like a drug. I thought these people are, you know, a little too extreme, you know, going over a little the edge a little bit with sugar being like a drug. I mean, certainly I was going to be able to control it. But I read a book written by a doctor and also by a compulsive overeater that mentioned that sugar can be just as addictive as cocaine. And so once I had that knowledge, I thought, okay, I quit the sugar. It was unbelievable. I just quit on my own, and I lost the weight. However, I was continued to compulsively eat carrots, you know, those little carrot, baby carrots and celery and rice cakes and anything that was crunchy, you know. And then I got into the potato chips because, of course, there's no sugar in potato chips. And, you know, soon I started gaining the weight, and that's what drew me back. Of course, I came to OA to lose weight. And so self-knowledge didn't work. I had that little bit of knowledge that sugar was addictive, and that didn't fix it for me. I mean, I lost the weight, but the obsession of the mind, this can only be removed by God, and that's the answer, my relationship with God. So with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Anne Marie M. from South Carolina. Loretta H., it's your turn, followed by Roy C. Good morning, Loretta.
Good morning, Lynn. Sorry about the background noise. Okay, I'm out on my walk. Hi, everybody. Loretta H., thank you for saving my life along with my precious God, recovered in North Carolina. So anyway, I am a real compulsive overeater. I have to start with this. And self-reliant was my middle name plus control. So as a result of that, and I've had this disease since I was four, but in 1968, I got hired by a company that had a weight restriction, and self-reliance would fix me. Losing my job if I gained weight would fix me, blah, blah, blah. It didn't. And as a result of that, I did come into OA in 84. And in 84, I got very, very anorexic because I only had a food plan. And the food plan was, and I was squeaky abstinent. In fact, you could break my bones at that time because I got so thin. And my company actually did a intervention with me and spent a lot of money on me to try to fix me. But because I didn't have the spiritual solution, which is working the steps, and as I always said, my precious God, and leaning in on Him, I never recovered. And the interesting thing about Harry Brick, Harlan mentioned Harry Brick actually sued Alcoholics Anonymous because he had all this money and he gave them money to publish the book. And of course, at the time, I guess he didn't get his money back, so he sued. So another reason he probably, that self-reliance, that ego that he has, you know, everything, and he offered them money and then wanted his money back. And that's the story of me, of the control, the, you know, wanting the solution that I could fix it, and I can't. It's only God and the program and people that help me and save my life every day. And with that, I pass. God bless, and welcome to the newcomer. Keep coming back. It works because we work it. Bye.
Thank you, Loretta H. from North Carolina. And now we have Roy C., followed by Elena C. And Roy, can you let us know where you're calling from, please?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Troy C., although if there is a Roy, just let me know and I'll pass. Troy C., calling from Florida, Eastern Time. Okay. And thank you, moderator, for your service. Yeah, this is, I'm having a really powerful experience. You know, I've read this book a lot. And I read it many times in, I don't know if it's the mother program, the sister program, whatever, in AA. And it's really poignant for me because I was not bred in AA. You know, when I read this book the first time around, I could immediately identify that I was alcoholic, that I couldn't touch drugs or alcohol. But very quickly, I realized, and I remember saying when I was in treatment for that disease, I remember saying, wow, you know, my reaction to food is very similar. And yet, so with food, I was absolutely Fred, because even saying those words out loud and of my own volition, no one had to point that out to me. Even saying that out loud, I had this powerful hunch that, like, surely with this self-knowledge, and with seeing this about myself, I would be okay. And I remember just having this thought, this feeling that it would be preposterous, it would be ridiculous if I would need to use the 12 steps to control food. And I really thought about it in that way, that food was something I just needed to learn to control. It was absolutely my great obsession that I was going to be able to control and enjoy my eating. And I tried for 10 years, you know, sober in AA, practicing the steps, working the steps, reading this literature regularly in meetings and with sponsees, and always having this, I was Fred every single time. The men and women who wrote this book were coming to my bedside and telling me, hey, Troy, your reaction to food is just like drugs and alcohol. You may have that problem as well. No, no, no. I've got my shit together. Oh, excuse me. I've got my life together. You know, I'm sober over there. If even if I did have that same problem with food, my credits would transfer. Why wouldn't God just fix the problem for me over there? Why wouldn't He fix it in every aspect of my life? And that's a question I can't answer. I don't know why coming here and working with a sponsor in this program and asking God specifically for help with food in the way that's described in this book, I don't know why it has worked. I don't know why the obsession it's been lifted from me. I know that it has. I know that I haven't binged in some time now and that I'm 2 pounds away from my healthy body weight and that I haven't, you know, gone off the wagon and gained, you know, 17 pounds. Anyway, thank you so much for your service and for letting me share. And I wish everybody a blessed and excellent day. Bye, Tess.
Thank you, Troy C. from Florida. Now, I'm just going to call on Roy C. Did I hear a Roy C., just in case? No? Okay. Elena, I know I heard you. Would you like to go ahead, please?
Sure. Thank you so much, moderator, and thank you all for being here. You guys are absolutely amazing. I hope you can hear yourself, what you say, and how much it helps me to wake up with your voices. So, wow, Fred, our buddy. So here's what I hear in his story. I hear the profound detrimental condition of addiction. The trait, the most profound trait for me is the belief that I can do it on my own. The belief that, okay, well, you know, I know that I yell at you, and that's fine. That's the self-knowledge. That's the part of self-knowledge. And I don't even pay attention to the experience, my experience of not yelling at you, like, or your experience when I yell at you, you know. So I know that I yell at you, and I'm fine. And that's pretty much what, you know, what's happening in before we admit that we need a power greater than ourselves. So Fred is like, okay, I think I relate to what you're saying. And I know that, but you know what? I can do it on my own. I can do it on my own. Oh, my God. That is poison to me today. That is poison. There's nothing in the world that I can do by myself to overcome the deadly aspect of what I've been through, body and mind, while I was into food. And so, you know, on the flip side, the experience of what's happening to me when I was eating, was into food, the experience of what's happening to me when I work on the steps, it's not about knowing the steps. It's about experiencing the steps while I take action and paying attention how that feels, to have God with me throughout the day versus, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I want and I need blah, blah, blah. It doesn't work for me. I don't think it works for anybody for that matter. But you know what? What do I know about others? So I would like to live in the experience of God, not in knowing who God is. I want to live in the experience of me. Not necessarily, it's okay to know me, but I want to experience me. I want to experience you and the relationship with you. And thank you so much for that. I'll pass.
And where are you calling from, Elena C?
I'm sorry, Elena C from South Carolina, recovered compulsive overeater.
Thank you. Okay, for those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, we are on page 39 in the chapter More About Alcoholism. The second paragraph, three lines from the bottom, Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. So who would like to share?
Melanie
P. Florida.
Okay, can we stop
Florida
there just for a second? Because everybody came in at once, but I heard Melanie And I think I heard Ken. Who else said their name just now? Oh, and Pete, thank you.
Melissa C.
Okay.
Carol A.
Was that Cheryl?
Yes.
Cheryl. Okay. Let me tell you who I did here. I heard a Melanie, a Ken, Pete B, Melissa C, and Cheryl. Let's go with that lineup. And if you could please give me your last initial and where you're calling from. And we'll start with Melanie. Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning, Melanie P from Montreal, Canada. I identify a lot about this sentence and what we read this morning because I'm in OA for 33 years and I tried a lot on my own. And I just realized this morning that self-knowledge is what's driven my life on every area, at work, in my family, in my head, and in my disease. Because I thought that self-knowledge is I know, I can't, I can, and I do, and I will fix it. And maybe if I find the right sponsor, the right meeting, the right food plan, oh, everything's going to be okay. This time, it's going to be okay. And, you know, I really thought that I was right. But I wasn't, because, and I remember on this line, on this meeting, I said, I'm doomed, so, and I have a lack of power and blah, blah, blah. But I say it with my head, not with my heart and with the desperation. And this morning, I understand that I'm really doomed, that even myself, I cannot be cure of it, not even with my control, with my choose, with the choice I do, everything. I'm going to die with this disease, and no matter what I'm going to do, it won't work on my own only. And that's why I need God desperately on every minute of the day, not only when I'm doing my quiet time in the morning for 30 minutes and then, yeah, I'm okay. And I make a mess with everything because I think I can, but I can't. So that's what I had to share this morning. And thank you for all the service you do and for this meeting. I'll pass.
Thank you, Melanie P. from Montreal. Have Ken followed by Pete B. Good morning, Ken.
Hello, this is Ken, K-A-N-K, not Ken, but I think it's me. Thanks a lot, moderator. So 10K from Florida. I am a compulsive overeater and a food addict. And so Fred is a partner in a well-known accounting firm. I am in the board of a well-known consulting firm. My income is good. I have a fine home. I'm happily married, and I'm a father of two children, one of them in college age, and one not, or both soon to be. People tell me I have an attractive personality. I don't believe them because I hate myself, but they tell me that I'm that. They tell me that I'm a successful businessman. I don't believe it because I hate myself. To all appearance, that's what people tell me. How can you have a problem? I seem to be stable and a well-balanced individual. But I don't believe that because I've always hated myself. And I picked food up many years ago, gained a lot of weight, and I always thought I can control it because I'm a great dieter. I've always, since I'm 18, I was used to losing around 20 to 30 pounds every year by exercising, by dieting. And so when I joined OA in 2017, so I'm actually a newcomer, a greenhorn compared to all the people that are in this in this group, and I'm so happy that I'm a greenhorn because I'm still learning so much. I had made a list of 30 diets, at least 30 diets. I think I did like 32, 33 or something. And the amount of weight that I've lost, and I mean, you can make the math each time, like 30, 40 pounds. But in my last attempt, December 2017, I threw all the candy, everything that was in the house, I threw it in the trash. And I said, now I will make it. And around, I think it was 5 or 6, 7 minutes, I'm not sure how long it was, I took everything out of the trash and I started eating again. So that's when I joined OA. Now, I've just come out of a relapse. I was 2 years, 2 years abstinent, lost 50 pounds, gained all that because I thought now that I'm sponsoring, I have everything under control. Now I realize that one thing has to change, and that's opening my heart. I have to open my heart. I have to love God. I have to accept His love. And I think that's, thank you very much. I'll end with one sentence. I think that's where I'm at the moment. It's between fear and love. And with all your help, I want to go the path of love. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, 10K from Florida. Next, we have Pete B, followed by Melissa C. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Lynn. Thanks so much for taking the meeting. You're doing a great job. Always appreciate your service. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. You know, it's funny. Like when I first read the paragraph, I thought I was going to say one thing, and now I'm thinking I'm going to say something else. So I'm just gonna say whatever. You know, like, but you know, I, when I relate my experience to this is like I don't think that there was ever maybe when I was real little, real young, I don't think that I never. Believe that I was a normal eater. Like I just always knew I was different. And like you said, Fred never believed himself an alcoholic. I knew that I compulsively overate. I knew that I would eat against my wishes. I knew that I would eat against my plans. I knew I would eat against all of my intentions. So by definition, I was compulsively overeating, right? And so my problem was is I didn't understand what the implications are of actually being a compulsive overeater of the variety that this book talks about. I said, sure, we can admit it. Yeah, I admit I'm a compulsive overeater, but do I really understand what the implications of that are? Right? Do I really understand that I have an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind? Right, the allergy of the body tells me that I can't eat certain substances in any quantities whatsoever, ever. I'll never be able to use those. I'll never recover from that component of my disease. Right, and it also says this obsession, coupled with this obsession of the mind. Right, like when I say I'm recovered, I have not recovered from being a compulsive overeater. I've not recovered from being an alcoholic. I will always have the allergy of the body. What I've recovered from is this obsession of the mind, this merciless obsession that tells me this time will be different. You're making too big a deal out of this condition, right? So I knew what I was. I just didn't understand the full implications of it. What I've learned is that I'll never outwork the allergy of the body. I'll never outwork the obsession of the mind. I have recovered from that because I've had a spiritual experience as a result of working these steps. Now, the last observation I have is in OA's vision, invitation, it says that we place the words alcohol and alcoholic with food and compulsive overeater. We don't have a word for alcoholism. We don't, it's not compulsive overeaterism. Right? And, you know, like I have to really align, like my disease, this mental obsession, I'll just shut up with this. By working these steps, we get restored to sanity. We get to tap into the resources that the Creator has put in all of us. The problem gets removed. It doesn't exist for us. And that has been the case for me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Pete B. Melissa C., it's your turn, followed by Cheryl. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. Thanks so much for your service this morning. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, when I read this paragraph, I actually, I reflect on something. I think Pete actually brought it to my attention maybe a year or two ago, and it really applies for this paragraph. There's a distinction between being addicted to food and being a real compulsive overeater. And I think, why is that important for me to note that distinction? Because I've been addicted to other things, and I did not require a spiritual awakening. I did not require going through the 12 steps, getting a relationship where God enters my heart and lives in a way which is miraculous, in order to keep away from those things. I knew I needed to keep away from those things, and so I did. And I could tell you what are the examples. Cigarettes. I was addicted to cigarettes. For years until I was in my, 20s, I smoked cigarettes, and I knew I was addicted, and it was really difficult to put it down, no doubt, but I did not need to have a spiritual awakening in order to put it down. I could put them down knowing full well I got to stay away from them. And I do believe if I picked up a cigarette today, I'd be a smoker again. So I know that there's something, in that. And I had the same experience, in my youth. I was a daily pot smoker, and it got me into a lot of trouble. It kept me from doing well academically. It kept me from showing up for certain things. And I realized this is getting in the way, and I put it down. And I don't do it anymore, right? And I have had many of those experiences. By the way, I have that experience with sugar. I can put sugar down. I put sugar down. I am definitely addicted to sugar. But I'm a compulsive overeater. And when Anne-Marie started talking about eating those baby carrots and eating other things alcoholically, that's the distinction. Because, a compulsive overeater, our definition of abstinence is not never eat sugar. That might be true if sugar is your problem. But it's, the action of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working towards and maintaining a healthy body weight. And I need to know that I am unable to do those things without a connection with God. And my sanity has been restored because I am in the midst of really hard times. My mother is suffering with dementia. It is really unraveling in a heartbreaking way. And my sanity is returned and restored because not once have I thought about using food to change this experience. The only thing I keep wanting to do is to lean more on my Creator for direction. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa C. from New York. And Cheryl, you're going to be our last person to share this morning, and we've got about 2 minutes. If I could have your initial and where you're calling from, please.
Sure. Hi, this is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater in Brookline, Massachusetts. You might hear my dog in the background who's trying to engage me at the moment. But this is one of the most important, every page is so good and so important, but Fred reminds me that those mental blank spots are just right there. If I don't keep my connection with my higher power, I've read somewhere that Fred is a good reminder. It can stand for fear, resentment, ego, and dishonesty. That's Fred. Fear, resentment, ego, and dishonesty. And it's not always that feeling that I want to pick something up just because, oh, maybe today I can. It's, oh, my gosh, I am in fear. Alarm bells. Oh, my gosh, I am resentment and ego and dishonesty. Alarm bells. I have a step that tells me what to do when these things come up. But it's taken so many years to grasp and understand that when I am in some kind of a place or a state, I am at risk. There are three things that are always happening, and that life is always changing. Every day I'm getting just a little bit older, which means my body and my heart and my mind are also changing. And the disease also has the potential to get worse. It is getting worse if I don't treat it. Those things are happening all the time. And that means that fear and resentment and ego and dishonesty can crop up and with just a little bit of a different face. And if I'm changing or I'm seeing the world through different eyes, I might not recognize it right away if I'm not spiritually fit. The answer is a relationship with God. I can't explain it. I've studied the science of it over and over again, and I still can't. It's a mystery. But I know that it works. Thank you so much. Everyone have a good weekend.
Thank you, Cheryl A. from Brooklyn, Massachusetts. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you for Team Friday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for this morning's meeting, Friday, August the 16th, 2024, is 21664. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Would Anne Marie M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I will. I will. I'm so sorry. I don't have it right in front of me, but I am going to get it right now. A Vision for You. Here we go. Okay. Guys, for not being prepared. Okay. A book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall join you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.